People all around us are desperate for hope. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to continue sharing the gospel with those in need.
I love the story of the visiting preacher that was preaching in a southern church, and he was preaching along, and he said, "Folks, I believe God wants this church to walk." And the man on the front row said, "Let it walk, preacher, let it walk." After a little while longer, he said, "I believe God wants this church to fly." And the man on the front row said, "Let it fly, preacher, let it fly." He said, "Now it's going to take some money for this church to fly." And the man said, "Let it walk, preacher, let it walk."
The world is changing, but as Christians, our directive stays the same. God has not called us to compromise or complain about the culture. He has called us to continue. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Continue, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants us to continue developing through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. People all around us are desperate for answers, and we must continue to take the light of the gospel to those lost in culture's darkness. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Continuing in Victory.
Well, our text today is the record of David's last assembly with all of the people of Israel. He is in Jerusalem, probably at the palace, probably standing there at the porch of the palace. And he's charging the people, and he's charging Solomon to do what he could not do. That was the building of the temple. God had said to David, "You cannot build the temple, for you have been a bloody man. You have been a man of war." And so he is commissioning his son to build the temple. And what we have here in 1 Chronicles in these chapters are the last recorded days of David's life. And we find that although David is now old and feeble, he still has a heart for God and a passion for the things of God. And I want to just say today, thank God for men of years who still dream to be used of God. And I really believe you can tell a man's character the older he gets if he's passionately still pursuing God and has in his heart this desire to be faithful unto death, or if he slowly degenerates and backslides. You'll find what really was there all the while. And David is showing us that he really was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who right to the very end wanted to see God's house built, wanted to honor the Lord. Thank God for men like that. Lehman Strauss, a famous pastor in the San Diego area years ago, said, "The last days of our life should be spent giving thought as to how much we can give, not how much we can keep." And that's exactly what David is thinking about. How can I invest in the next generation? How can we see the temple established for generations to come? Caleb was 85 years old when he fought the giants in the promised land in Joshua chapter 14. Caleb was 85 years old when he said, "I want that mountain." He was a man that was pursuing and pressing on for the Lord. And so David, in verse 1, calls all of the leaders of Israel together. Maybe you caught that a moment ago. It says, the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, the captains of the companies. There were 24 courses of priests that were gathered, according to 1 Chronicles 26. Some scholars say that there would have been about 2,000 per course. That means there would have been somewhere around 24,000 priests standing before David as he spoke. Then we have the princes of the 12 tribes standing there, the 12 princes. We have the captains of the king's companies. We have each of the counselors of David, those mighty men of David. What we're reading here is a last charge to the spiritual and the military and the academic leadership of the nation of Israel before David would die. And David continually, until the day of his death, desired that God would be glorified and that a temple would be built. 2 Samuel 7 and 1, "And it came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." In other words, David said, look at my house is nice, but the ark is still in the tabernacle that is made of curtains. And I want to see the temple established for the future. And so this morning I want to share with you four lessons that we can learn from David with respect to how to continue for the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you right now this morning that the application I will make is for the Lancaster Baptist Church. How can we continue victoriously? But I'm about to share four principles with you that could change your life. These four principles could build any family. These four principles could metamorphosize any business. These four principles are Bible principles that would be blessed if you would apply them into your life. And of course, my heart and passion, as I believe David's was for the work of God expanding, and I believe that's your heart as well. But here are some principles today that, if applied by faith, will bring us to victory in our lives. How do we go from here to victory? Let's think about that this morning. First of all, I want you to jot down in your notes that there must be the preparation of the heart. You see, the heart of the problem is often a problem of the heart. And so we must, as a church, as individuals, with every bold venture, make sure that our heart is properly prepared. Now, notice David's heart. In verse 2, then King David stood upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people, as for me, I had," notice this phrase, "in my heart to build an house for the rest of the Ark of the Covenant." We see the preparation of the heart. I want you to know David's preparation today. The word heart speaks of the inner man. It is the totality of our innermost being. It is everything that David could muster. He says, "From my heart I've had this desire." And does not the Bible say, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord"? Listen, God is not calling us to a haphazard or haphazard type of Christianity. He's not calling us to a half-hearted Christianity. He said, listen, if you're going to get involved, do it with all of your heart, with all of your heart. David was a man whose heart was totally engaged. David had a pure heart. Psalm 24 and verse 3, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." David had a pure heart. David, I see in this passage, had a passionate heart. He was a man who didn't gather all of the leadership together just to talk about the weather. He was a man that had a passion to share with the people. And we're not here this morning just doing church. We are here saying, Lord, we want to continue passionately for you. And I see all the time, and you do as well, men that just don't have their heart into it. Ladies that just don't have their heart into it. Look, you meet a lot of people that, they're going through the motions. Their heart may not be into it, but Psalm 42 in verse 1 says, "As the heart, the deer, panteth after the water brook, so my soul after thee, O God, for my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" David had a passionate heart. And I want you to recognize this morning, as we look ahead to March chapter 6, and I want you to see this quote here by Ken Blanchard. What an amazing quote. "The ultimate secret for generosity is a changed heart." Let's say that together. The ultimate secret for generosity is... See, why did David get so involved in the temple building? Why would anybody be involved in the local church? Why would we keep continuing passionately? There's only one reason you will, and that is because you have not gotten over the fact that Jesus is in your heart and that he's changed your life and he's made you whole. And I'm going to tell you something. If that's real, it's indicated in the passion of your Christian life, you see. And so David's preparation and excitement was a reflection of his heart. And one of the first things that wanes as the heart for God wanes is generosity. I concur with Ken Blanchard. So David was preparing from the heart. Notice, secondly, Solomon's preparation. I love this. Now, fathers, listen to this. Kind of catch the picture. Here's David with all the mighty rulers of the kingdom, but he's really talking to Solomon here. And he's challenging his son. And notice what he says in verse number 8, just for a moment. The Bible says, and Solomon, rather verse number 8 of chapter 28. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our Lord, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess the good land. Verse 9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father. Now, David was prepared. That's fine. Now catch this analogy. Thank God for every 75-year-old man in this church who prepares and participates in the work of the Lord. But it's time for some young marrieds. It's time for some young men to grow up in their faith as well. Can I get an amen to that? That's what's happening here. There's the transference. David said, I'm ready, Solomon, you get ready, because we're not going to go forward unless every generation is involved. So he says, Solomon, verse 8, I want you to seek God's commandments. And the word seek here means to inquire, to consult and inquire of God. Now, the heathen nations around Israel had sought diviners and necromancers and witchcraft, and they had sought many different false spiritual counselors. And David says, Solomon, I want you to seek after my God. And fathers, that ought to be the heart of every father here, that we ought to think and pray that our sons and daughters would follow in our steps and follow after our faith. And this ought to be our passion today and something that we pray for. And so he says, I want you to seek God's commandments, and then I want you to serve God willingly. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, and now, Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father. Would you say that with me? And thou, Solomon, my son, know the God. Say it again. And thou, Solomon, my son, know the God. Look at dads. A lot of times our sons, they know the church. They know the Christian school. They know where the gymnasium is. They know some of this type of thing. But we want to pray that they have a personal relationship with God. That they know how to pray, that they know how to love, serve, and give to God. And here, David said, Solomon, I want you to love God. And by the way, parents, that ought to be the passion of your heart. How about this little single mom on the video, and she said, I want my children to know God. Amen. That ought to be our passion today. Amen. That's why we come to church. Right. That's why we continue. That our children may know God. And ladies and gentlemen, far more than ministry, far more than programs, we must have a relationship with God where we are praying and seeking His will and learning His attributes. And Solomon is challenged to serve God in this way. And so with a perfect heart, he's to prepare his heart. Notice secondly, not only must we have the preparation of the heart, but secondly, we must have the preparation of the mind, all right? How do you get from here to victory? You got to start with the heart that's ready. Then you got to get your mind ready. You've got to be thinking properly. Look at verse 9 now again. He says, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Now, I want you to know, I want you to have personal knowledge of, you see. And the most significant contribution we make in this life is the passing of the truth to the next generation. We ought not to say, oh, I don't get anything out of that. We ought to say, yes, we get to invest in the next generation so that young people can learn the truth of God. How many of you are glad that children can be saved? John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. You see, the world today has abandoned the children, and they're letting children be raised by MTV and sex ed classes, and the world's education is very evident in the moral demise that's happening all around us today.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.